Good. Ah, praise the Lord. You know, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit, and just something triggered a memory for me. I think I've shared just maybe last week, I think, about a time at the Open Bible Church where I grew up. There was a tongues and interpretation, and there were some Africans there that recognized the interpretation. I saw a note about an obituary of a lady that I remember, and I saw my parents yesterday, and I asked, was she one of the ladies that was involved in that tongues and interpretation? And they said, oh, yes, she sure was. She was the one that gave the message in tongues. And let me just add to the story a little bit. They said, actually, when she spoke, it was one of the most awkward things ever. I mean, apparently she sounded funny or something, and they're like, ooh, what's going on? But then there was an interpretation, and those Africans said, that is our common language. They recognized it. And so, you know, sometimes we've got this idea of how things are supposed to sound and all that, but God can do whatever he wants. And then he affirms it with that kind of a testimony. So that's pretty cool. Today is the pursuit of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit for several weeks now and how important his work in us. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person who fills us. He builds godly character, and he enables powerful gifts. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we want to experience the effects of his presence. Now, I want to be clear that as a believer, a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, a follower of Christ, you already have the Holy Spirit. However, we need to keep on being filled with the Spirit, and we want to experience what the disciples experienced in the book of Acts. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and phenomenal things happened. So as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, but there's more. Okay? The scripture makes it pretty plain that the Holy Spirit is deposited in us at salvation. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 says that the Lord anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So if you are saved, born again, follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. He's living in you. Okay? And we see that in the disciples as well. In John chapter 20, they had the Holy Spirit. Jesus was there. He was talking to them, and he says these words, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." There in John chapter 20, receive the Holy Spirit. But then, when we get to the book of Acts, which comes after John, and not just in the Bible, but in time, in the sequence of events, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells the disciples to wait until you receive the gift and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, he says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. And then he says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so we see the disciples' example that you can have the Spirit, but then later on also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They had both. And I believe we should expect exactly the same today. If that's the way God did it, that's the way it should be today. So we see there's another work of the Holy Spirit after conversion, after salvation. And I just gave you the disciples' example, but we also see it in Acts chapter 19 when Paul was in Ephesus, and he met some disciples there. And they were saved. They were followers of Christ. And he asked them, hey, basically, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? And he said, we don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And so it says that he placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And so there we have the disciples plus these people in Ephesians as biblical examples of people who were saved but then had something else happen with the Holy Spirit that was pretty phenomenal. I think we should expect the same. Now, let me try to put this into even more practical terms. this might make sense for some of you. At salvation, we get a deposit of the Holy Spirit, which is sort of like a down payment on a house. Okay? Then sometime after that, we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is kind of like payment in full. Okay? But even beyond that, we should keep on being filled with the Spirit, which is kind of like investing in your home to make improvements. And so there's a deposit, there's a payment, but then there's ongoing. And the Holy Spirit is the same way. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is both an event and an ongoing process. I know I said this before, but I think it helps to understand how this works. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples had a profound experience of being filled with the Spirit. And that was the most phenomenal example we see in the Scripture. There was a rushing wind, there was flames of fire, the place shook, and they all spoke in tongues. I mean, they really got the Holy Spirit, okay? However, we see that they continued to be filled again and again throughout the book of Acts. So they had that one phenomenal event, but then repeatedly, the Scripture says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then another time, they were filled with the Spirit. It just kind of repeats. And so I believe we should expect the same today, a significant event of being filled with the Spirit and a repeated or continual infilling. And Ephesians 5:18 talks about that ongoing process where it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And that literally means keep on being filled with the Spirit. I've said it before, because you leak, you need to get filled back up, okay? Now, here's another one I know I've said before, but it's worth repeating. Why does the Apostle Paul talk about being filled with the Spirit in the same context as being drunk? Why? Well, here's my thoughts on that. If you're drunk, which, by the way, the Bible says it's a sin to get drunk, okay? By the way, all right? But if you're drunk, you're going to walk different, talk different, act different, think different, and feel different, right? Now, some of you have experienced that firsthand. Others of you have seen it firsthand, and you know that's true. It affects you. We call it being under the influence, right? Okay? But here's the difference. When you're drunk, you are impaired. When you're filled with the Spirit, you are improved. You're under the influence, but it's a better situation. So today I want to talk about how to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That initial phenomenal event, you're already saved, you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, but that next event of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, like we see in the book of Acts, how do you get there? Well, it's really pretty simple. Number one, start by believing. Just believe. Everything in Christianity is based on faith. Everything. And so you have to start here. Believe. And even in the modern world, you know, there's a quote that says, what a man accomplishes depends on what he believes. So if you want something to happen, you got to start with believing you can. You know, the little engine, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, and then he did it. There is some truth in all of that. We need to believe. In fact, Matthew 21:22, Jesus says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So there's this pattern of believe and receive. And then in Mark 11:24, he says a similar thought. He says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Believe and receive. Galatians 3:2, he asks a rhetorical question, and the answer is supposed to be obvious. And the question is this, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? The answer is by believing. So you start with belief. A.W. Tozer says it this way, believe you can be filled. Believe it is God's will. Believe it is not abnormal. Believe the Holy Spirit is not strange or eerie. He is the essence of Jesus. So be convinced of these things. Believe it. Believe it. Charles Spurgeon was a famous preacher. He also said, I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not believe at all. Wow, that's a strong statement. Believe God all the way or not at all. He says, believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. And if you really think about that just from a pure logic standpoint, if you're only going to believe little parts of the Bible, does that even make sense? If you can't believe it all, then you shouldn't believe it at all. So believe it all. And if God wants us to be filled with the Spirit, that's what the Bible says, then we need to believe it. St. Augustine puts another little spin on here, and he says, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand so that you may believe, but believe so that you may understand. Okay? And that's a pretty scriptural thought. God gives you just enough that you have some confidence in him, and so you go with it, and then it all makes more sense. Okay? That's the way God works. It starts with believing. As I said, all of Christianity is built on faith. So let me ask you this. Do you believe biblical patterns are still relevant today? Do you believe the Lord wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? Do you trust him? Okay, so we're on the right track. Believe. And then two, desire. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it needs to be something that you want. Now, last week I asked if you like to receive gifts. And I think most everybody enjoys receiving a gift from time to time. God is a gift giver. He gave us his son, Jesus. He continues to give us his grace, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. My view is pretty simple. If God is giving something away, I want to receive whatever that is. Okay? It's like a pig at a trough. The farmer's pouring something in there, I'm at the trough, I want it. If God's giving something away, count me in. I want that. Isaiah 44, verse 3, God says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. It begins with a thirst. A desire. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There needs to be a desire. D.L. Moody, another strong preacher years ago, says that God commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and if we are not filled, it is because we are living beneath our privileges. Okay? God says, I have all of this for you. And if we say, oh, I just only want this, you know, you can make that choice, but you're missing out on all the other stuff that God has for you. That doesn't make sense. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorites. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. Acute desire must be present, or there will be no manifestation of Christ to his people. He waits to be wanted. God so much wants to pour out his grace and pour out his spirit and work in his people, but he kind of waits for us to give him the cue that, yes, Lord, we want that too. And then D.L. Moody again says, if we're full of pride and conceit, ambition, self-seeking, pleasure in the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. And he says, and I believe many a man is praying to God to fill him when he is full already with something else. And sometimes we fill up on all kinds of other stuff. We need to decide that we're really going after God. We really want the Holy Spirit. There's a, I'm sure you've heard this before, but there's a tale of a from India about a young man who was seeking God, and so he went to a wise old sage for help, and he asked, "How can I find God?" And the old man took him to a nearby river, and they waded out into the deep water, and soon the water was up to their chins, and suddenly the old man seized the young man by the neck and pushed him under the water. He held the young man down until he was flailing the water in desperation. Another minute, and he just might have drowned. Up out of the water, the two of them came. The young man was coughing water from his lungs and still gasping for air. And reaching the bank, he asked the man with, he was indignant at it. He says, "What did that have to do with my finding God?" The old man asked him quietly, "While you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else?" The young man thought for a moment. He said, "I wanted air. I wanted air more than anything else." And the old man replied, "When you want God as much as you wanted air, you will find him." We need to get ourselves into a place that believes that we can be filled with the Spirit, we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then begin to desire it so much that that's the main focus. It's the thing where I've got to have it. That kind of a desire. And you need to dig deep down to discover what's really in your heart. Many times what people think they want is not what they really want. You ever notice that? Particularly if you've ever had little kids. You know what that is. I want. And then when they get it, whatever. Okay? But we need to dig deep down and find out, what do we really want? Do we really want the Holy Spirit? And I say again, if God is passing out gifts, I want whatever he's giving. And he is giving us the Holy Spirit. And so I want the Holy Spirit. How about you? Okay, some of you are on board. The rest of you hopefully will warm up. Push them under the water. Okay, we can fill up the tank and we'll try it. All right. So you believe, and I heard a pretty good response when I asked if you believed. So I think most everybody's on board with that. We believe that we can be filled with the Spirit. And then we desire, and some of us are on that page. The rest of you will catch up. And then number three, you need to ask. Ask. In Luke 11, 9 through 13, Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." And normally we stop right there, but let me keep going. He says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion?" And it's kind of an obvious, no, you wouldn't do that. He says, "If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Now, we talk about ask, seek, and knock in all kinds of prayer contexts, but Jesus was specifically referring to the Holy Spirit when he said those words. You want the Holy Spirit, you need to ask. James 4:2 says, simply put, you do not have because you do not ask. That's it. Do not have because you do not ask. I think it was Gary Russell that told me about, he was at a conference one time and the speaker addressed the audience and he asked for this really attractive lady to come and stand next to him, and he asked for somebody else with a gold watch, "Could I borrow that for a minute?" And you know, somebody else, "Do you have $100? Can I borrow that?" You know, just that sort of thing. And pretty soon he's got this attractive woman next to him and a gold watch and $100. And then he asks the crowd, "Now, how did I get those things?" "I simply asked." It's not that complicated, is it? You ask. You do not have because you do not ask. And so I say, ask or pray with confidence. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Now, we already said we believe that it's God's will for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if we ask, we can ask with confidence because we know that's what he wants us to have. You don't have to wonder, well, I hope it's okay if I ask for the Holy Spirit. No, you already know. God wants you to ask for that. So ask for it. Other examples in the scriptures, sometimes they prayed together. Okay? In Acts chapter 2, that's what they did. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And that's when the Holy Spirit came on them in power. You can also pray with hands on. And you see that once in a while when we pray, we lay a hand on the shoulder or something like that. Well, we see that in Acts chapter 19 when Paul prayed for those Ephesian disciples. He laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But basically, the idea is you ask. You want the Holy Spirit? You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You want to be filled with the Spirit? Ask! And number four, expect. Okay, I already established it's God's will. So if you ask what he already wants to do, he's probably going to do it. Right? Okay, Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39. This is after the disciples had their phenomenal experience. And now Peter's addressing the crowd who are kind of mystified about this phenomenon that they're seeing and hearing. And Peter says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He didn't say, repent and be baptized and believe in the Lord Jesus, and you might get the Holy Spirit. He said, no. Repent, be baptized, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So expect. There's a little book, long out of print, called Expectation Corner, and it tells of a king who prepared a city for some of his poor subjects. And not far away, he constructed a large storehouse where everything they needed would be supplied if they would only send him their requests. There was one condition, however. They should constantly be on the lookout for his messengers so that when they came with the gifts in answer to their urgent pleas, the petitioners would always be found waiting and ready to receive the gifts. One faithless subject, however, didn't really expect to get anything he asked for, and so he never watched for the delivery. And one day, finally, he was taken to the king's storehouse, and there, to his amazement, he saw scores of packages that had originally been made ready for him. The messengers had come to his door, but because he was not looking for them, the king's gifts never satisfied his needs. So we need to expect. You know, we ask for God's presence and God's work in us, but then are we looking for it? Are we being observant to pay attention when God is moving in us? Or do we just go about our daily business and forget all about it? We say our little request and then we go on. No, you say your request, but then you kind of look for it. Okay, God, I know this is what you want, and I've let you know it's what I want too, so I'm watching. You know, it's like, you're not getting past me. I'm watching. I'm expecting. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his disciples to wait. And we see in Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what they were doing. They were waiting. They had an expectation that his promise would be fulfilled. So they did what he said. It's really an issue of trust. God says he has a gift for us, and all we need to do is ask. Do you think God will give what he has promised to give? Then trust that he will. Simple enough. When you believe, desire, ask, and expect, the Holy Spirit will fill you. Remember, this filling is both a significant event and an ongoing process, but today's focus is really on that initial event, that getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be Spirit-filled. Yes, you do. I know some of you are out there in your mind thinking, I'm not sure. Yes, you do. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, just before we wrap up, let's talk about this actual experience of the Holy Spirit baptism. Charles Finney tells a little bit about his experience. He says, the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me body and soul. He says, I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. He says, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love, like the very breath of God. It seemed to fan me like immense wings. My personal experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit was at Bible camp, and I had been going to the altar every night for several nights saying, Lord, I want this. You know, I'd been around it my whole life, and yet I hadn't really experienced that myself. But this one night then I was praying at the altar. I was kneeling down, and I felt this warmth, and I really believed and thought for sure one of my sisters who was there at camp had come up and was praying with me. And I just kind of was overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, and I had some stuff going through my mind, so I just began to speak it out, even though it sounded kind of funny at the time. And then just, whoo, wow, good feeling. And so I did that for a little bit, and I turned around to hug my sister, and there was nobody there. It was just the presence of God was so strong. I know of other Spirit-filled believers who initially weren't sure about this thing, but simply prayed saying, if this is real, then I want it. And they got it. I know of people that's their testimony. Nothing real profound, just simple, yeah, I don't know what to think of this, but God, okay, if this is real, I'll take it. Boom. Now, sometimes it's the issue of speaking in tongues that people wrestle with. Okay? We see the biblical pattern. In most cases, people baptized in the Spirit spoke in tongues. That is the biblical pattern. So it's legit. But it can seem to be awkward, and some people are reluctant to pursue the Spirit's baptism simply because of the whole tongues thing. I don't know what to think about that. Okay, I love what Jack Hayford has to say. He just makes it so nice. He says, I want you neither to feel you must speak with tongues to prove anything, nor to feel you have failed if you ask the Lord Jesus and you don't speak with tongues immediately. Okay, so the pressure's off. And then he says, but I must be honest with you. I do pray that you will ask him to overflow your soul with new dimensions of praise or prayer. And I do ask him, prayerfully agreeing with you, that you will receive a release into the beauty of spiritual language. I like that approach. There's no pressure that, boy, you got to come up with this tongues thing, but it's biblical, and you should be open and receptive to what God wants to do if it's a biblical thing. Jack Hayford goes on, and he says, how does this tongues part start? He says, I've talked with people to this day who think that the Lord is going to make them speak with tongues, that there's going to be some sort of seizure over which they have no control. Okay? People often say to me today, I want to be sure that I don't make up tongues, to which I will respond, what makes you think you could? Especially since you don't want to. If you don't want to make it up, what makes you think you could? He says, then such fears are needless and ought to be laid at Jesus' feet. People also say, I want to be sure it's all of God. Of course, we all do. But let me tell you, God himself wants your involvement. The Holy Spirit doesn't hypnotize you and then make you speak in another language. The Bible says they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Clearly, that indicates God's will and pattern that incorporates our decision to speak as well as the Holy Spirit's enablement to give the language spoken. There's a cooperation between us and God. And Jack goes on, he says, I frequently point out that spiritual language often occurs in a person's mind even before it is spoken. That was my experience as well. As I was praying there to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I knew that normally that comes with tongues, and so the Holy Spirit didn't grab my tongue and start rattling around. But there were some words or syllables or something go through my mind, and so I stepped out in faith, began to speak those, and then it whoosh went from there. And Jack says that your language may at first be quite simple. The beginning may not be dramatic or expansive, but if you begin in faith, then continue in faith. Trust the Lord to expand the language and be at peace in this. He will. He gives the language, but if you're ever going to speak, you're going to have to decide to speak just as much as you had to decide to receive Jesus as Lord. Right? God made it all available through Jesus, right? He paid the price so that we can be saved, but you have to decide to come to Jesus. Same with the Holy Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. You have to decide that you're going to speak what he's prompting in your heart. He says, when Jesus was walking on the water, he beckoned Peter to come to him. And there came a moment when Peter had to decide. I'm standing here, but I'm going to go there. He had to make that decision. And there comes a moment where you decide to step out and walk in a miracle. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. So believe. Desire. Ask and expect. And then when you sense the Holy Spirit beginning to prompt something, it might seem kind of strange at first, but just begin to verbalize those things and ask the Holy Spirit to take over from there. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be Spirit-filled. Church. You need to get filled with the Spirit. We all do. And if you're already filled, you need to get refilled and keep on being filled. But if you've never been filled, I say let's step out today and receive a miracle from the Lord. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? We're going to sing the song again. And anytime during the song or after, if you want to come pray and see what God's going to do, I'll be right here and some others can join me and we'll pray with you. Okay? But let's sing. Have some Spirit-filled believers come, and let's just begin to pray and minister. And the rest of you, you're welcome to stay and linger as long as you want. If you're ready to go, you're free. Have a great week. But go after the Holy Spirit.